Blog Talk Radio.
Peace and greetings, family. I'm Brother Ezekiel Hill,
and your Ringing Stone host tonight on the Ringing Stone Network. And I'm extremely excited about tonight, you know, because one thing as a Moor, there's certain rituals that and things that I used to identify with when I was more into the African movement that I don't do anymore. And so it's been a long time. So the day I broke out, you know, like my African garb, it was this brother that gave me one of the Egyptian, there's a wood piece of Egyptian astrology where you can throw your bones and tell people's forecast. And I brought it all out, my candles and some of the other things that I used to deal with when I was back really deep into Kemet. But tonight is a very, very special night. Because when I first started my show hosting maybe about 4 or 5 years ago, I brought in Dr. Natiri Nelson, and she billed for me. And I went to a lecture, long story short, but I went to a lecture, and the brother was identifying things that are us that we don't understand are the foundation of Christmas. And so, you know, I saw YouTube, I saw Dr. Natiri Nelson, and she did this piece on the identifying the tools that was us that they changed. You know, and I wanted to bring her in so that we can go back to the original tools that they brought in so that we can get the proper energy and the proper frequency as we make our ascension up until December 21st. So, family, I bring to you Dr. Natiri Nelson. I'm going to skip the rest of that. I want to just get to it. Are you there, doctor?
Yes, I am. Hotep, you say cool. Thank you so much for inviting me on the show this evening.
I appreciate it. It's very special. You know, me, even though I'm an older person, I'm a younger guy in spirit. And so every time that you meet somebody that has taught you something, that's like an elevation of the step you take. So you brought me up, and I appreciate you bringing me up. So I appreciate your support and the support of your organization. And before we start, I would please give information of your organization so we get that off. And so if somebody tunes in a little later or if they download it, then make sure that they get your organization and also information on your celebration. I think it's December 20th you're doing the celebration.
That's right. That's right. Okay, so the name of the organization is the Academy of Kemetic Education and Wellness. And we're located in Mattapan, Mass, or for folks who aren't familiar with Mattapan, Boston, Mass, 02126. And our website is www.rrrk.net. That's three R's and a K, .net. And that stands for Right Relationship, Right Knowledge, because that's what we teach. We teach an African-centered model for psychological, spiritual character development that is underpinned by our African and African diaspora history. You there?
Yeah, I'm here. I just wanted to let you finish. But yeah, I think it's essential because I think it's essential as one of our foundations that we look at African diaspora. I know it's essential, like when I came up through, you know, that I learned some of the deities. You know, I've been studying a lot about the pyramids and the effects mathematically on the pyramids.
But yeah.
As I appreciate it, because my brother and I, we were talking about when you deal with Jesus, you can't find him. But when you deal with us as this being a black planet, then there's evidence all over the world.
Yes, yes. So I'm excited to talk this evening about our upcoming, which will be our third Kemetic Charesmas celebration. And this is not to be confused with Christmas. Like Kwanzaa, this is an African celebration, which is taking back and restoring all the sacred symbols from the grips of a materialism while enacting the birth and resurrection of the Charest or the Heru within us. as maybe many in the audience are aware, we had a divine trinity of Osir, Osset, and Heru, which predates Christianity, which would later be called Jesus, Joseph, and Mary, or the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so in this celebration, we are inviting all of the family, all ages, children, elders, parents, to participate in this Kemetic Charismas celebration, where true meaning is revealed and commercial practices are put aside. So it is in this reconstruction of a Charismas celebration that we come to re-spiritualize those elements of our traditional African spirituality that have become materialized, perverted, Europeanized, debased, renamed, distorted, and potentized to be injurious to the African consciousness. So it is here that we reclaim our sacred symbols, and we remove these distortions and ungobble their meaning. And in this celebration, we will move step by step through a ritual that reconnects us with the cosmic event of the winter solstice, which is the rising of the sun. The sol is sun, and stis or stris is three. So it's the seeming, as the sun at this time makes its deepest descent, cosmically understood, in the sky, so that we have the longest night and the shortest day. Then there's the seeming standing still of the sun for 3 days before it begins to make its shift, and wherein we begin to now have an increase in light. So this is a very sacred time, and this is symbolic of the resurrection of this passage of the sun. This cosmic happening has its correlation with the resurrection of the sun, S-O-N, and daughter within us. And so it is a very sacred time, and we're aligning with this cosmic event. Now, this winter solstice event also has its corollary in the summer solstice, and we know that in Kemet, which would later be called Egypt by the Greeks, at that opposite time of year, June, at the summer solstice, when the sun was at its height and it was scorching, that we were suffering from drought. So drought and or darkness are synonymous. So we can actually do this celebration in the winter and in the summer, in terms of when we have then in the summer the flooding of the Nile and the what comes with that in terms of the giving of life again. And so in this winter solstice, in this winter descent of the sun in the darkness, in the seeming death of the sun, it is our time of renewal. We're undergoing a birth, a death, birth, and transformation, this transition. And so this ceremony enacts all of the elements. And do you want me to continue, or you want me to just, my brother, do you want me to continue? Hello?
Yes, I'm here, sure.
Oh, okay.
But I wanted to just do a one-on-one with you.
Sure.
because I want to bring out something so my audience understands and whoever downloads this understands that when they started Christmas, this was what, maybe what, 250,000 years ago, 4 million years ago?
2,000 years ago.
2,000
mm-hmm.
years ago?
Mm-hmm.
But 2,000 years ago, I wanted to bring out audience, they didn't have a telescope. And so, you know, we were talking about people that knew how to judge days on geometry, trigonometry. So when they brought in the winter solstice and determined when it was and brought in the Christmas and knew that the earth, the top of the earth in the 26,000 years wasn't moving for 3 days, it's phenomenal. It's very phenomenal that we understand where we was so that when we start talking about math is not ours, or we didn't create everything on this planet, we brought in, we created.
Right, right.
Other people are just overlaying. They're not changing it. They're just overlaying it. So understand, like, when she bring it in, it's like, this is our energy. It's our knowledge. And it's,
right,
it's
right.
We need to start.
And so this is what this celebration is about. It's about calling back our symbols and restoring them into in their primal essence. Our symbols, all of them, you know, for example, in this celebration, we understand the true meaning of the tamarisk or the isser tree. This is the tree that grew around the body of the sarcophagus of Osir when the sarcophagus had drifted to Byblos after he was slain by his jealous brother Set. And that tree is synonymous with the jet pillar, which is the symbol of stability. So it is this tree, this evergreen tree, this tree of life that is symbolizing that strength of that the jet pillar in that rise of the life that goes up the spinal column, the fire, and it's through the spinal column that we are able to move through all the planes of consciousness and all the planes of awareness. So it is a symbol of life, and it's a symbol of livingness. The other symbol that is restored is we take back the symbol of what would later be distorted into that red and white Santa Claus hat. We know this in its primal essence is the red and white crown of Kemet, which was worn by King Namur, which was worn by the Nesubiti, which means the ruler of Kemet. And it's the symbol of uniting the north and south of Kemet. So when Namur united the south and the north of Kemet, he wore this crown as a symbol of that unification. And this was a symbol throughout the dynasties. But that is a terrestrial meaning. There is also the divine or celestial meaning that goes with that, because the very topology of or geography of that Nile Valley and the uniting of the south and the north is symbolic and resonant with the same uniting within us in our constitution, which is both human and divine, material and spiritual. So it's a symbol of uniting that the north and the south within us, the masculine and the feminine, the positive and the receptive within us, that which is human and that which is divine. And you know, here, say Yusaku, in the classes that we have, for example, we had a Kemetic culture class for families and children and families, and the children made the white and red crowns, and we had displayed a white and red crown, you know, and if you've seen the white and red crown, it stands erect and firm. And so I said to the children, what do you have to do to make that crown look like that Santa Claus hat? And they all took their hand and they said, you have to smash it. You have to crush it. And they get it. They get what has happened to our symbols. And we need to be restored psychologically when we have been, when these distortions have happened, and the impact that they have had on us psychologically in terms of deflating us. And, you know, we went from a crown that was erect to one that was impotent. And there's the corresponding deflation of power that comes from that, especially as we walk around wearing that foolish Santa, in that foolery of that Santa Claus hat. So we take back.
May I ask why?
Pardon me?
May I ask why?
This
is why. And I just want to probe a little deeper. Okay. You know, they take the crown, they bend it to the side, they pop it on Santa Claus hat. But if you take a race of people that don't know Kemet, how does that hat still affect them? So it still has an effect. Could you explain it? And I'm not trying to be.
I'm so glad you're asking that. Because
I want the people to know that there is it in our DNA that we know it ain't right.
Absolutely, you're right on track. Because I've just named a few symbols. I talked about the tree. I talked about the red and white crown. I talked about the divine trinity of Osir and Osset and Heru that have gone out to be whitened and Europeanized and named something else. But there's multiple symbols. And the thing is, these symbols, you know how when we have as parents or grandparents and we have a child, and the child is going out the door to school or to play, and we say to that child, come back in this house. You're not going out dressed that way. The way they dress, they've got the stripe on or the polka dot or they got the hat going this way or the hair going that way or the pants going that way. And so we say to our child, come, get back in this house. You're not going out in public dressed this way. You're not going out to represent what you're wearing doesn't represent our the divinity, isn't respectful, isn't honoring. So we call that child back into the house and we say, take that off. Well, the same thing is required of our symbols. All of the African symbols have gone out and they have been dressed and robed and turned inside out and upside down and been distorted and renamed and repackaged and redispensed. And we wonder why we salivate, even when we would prefer not to, when we see the red and white crown or when so-called Christmas comes or we see, the Aid Trinity, because these are our children, and we need to call them back, and we need to say, take that off, that which has decreased your vibration, that which has materialized you, that which has depotentized you, and that which has called you something else that doesn't bear the vibration of your name.
So how do we prove that?
We need to restore it to its primal source.
And how do we prove it? How do we take someone across and prove to him that it doesn't have the same energy as the Ankh?
How do we prove that to someone?
Yeah, or the Santa Claus hat.
Well, the thing is,
let's just say I'm just a
scholar
out of prison. And I'm like, what is she talking about? You know,
as someone who has done extensive research, as these scholars have been doing, and written these works, one has to read and verify for themselves. One can go to Kemet and read the writing on the wall. This is why it's so important to learn how to read Medjugorje, which would later be called hieroglyphics by the Greeks. When you see the writing on the wall, when you read our ancient texts, for example, if you read what is called the Pur Timru, which would later be named the Egyptian Book of the Dead by the Egyptologists who invaded Kemet, the Europeans who invaded Kemet and called themselves Egyptologists and created this whole so-called discipline in science, which was just their way of corralling our antiquities, our treasure trove of garnered wisdom, and then systematically naming it something else, then it is our imperative, it is up to us to do our research, and there are those scholars who have been diligent in the reclaiming and retrieving our history. And so the information is there. The information is there. It does require one to be diligent in acquiring the information. So that is my response.
Let me apologize to you, because, you know, sometimes I go on the opposite side of the fence to try to get a point out. And so I'm not attacking you. I'm trying to bring out a point. I went to a meeting Sunday, you know, and we got to talking. I'm like, why are your brothers in this Bible? And that's the point I'm trying to get to you. Is like, what's the difference between the Bible and the energy? Because they were like, well, we do the Bible, but it's got some truths in it. And I'm like, but it's a percentage of the Book of the Dead. Well, let's say coming forth by day, because I prefer positive, coming forth by day. It's a percentage. So what I'm trying to do, why do we need the original? You know, because, you know, so many people are like, well, we don't need the original. The white man redid it and changed the stories, but it worked. So why do we need the original?
Well, see, the problem is this. This is the core problem and issue, and this has been well stated by our ancestors, George James, that it is our story that needs to be told and honored, and proper attribution made to our story. It isn't, and then when we can tell our story, and that can sit beside his story, or this story, or that story. You see, they're all, we want to unpack the panoply of story. And so when we come back to the primordial source and we know that story, then we can be comfortable in then looking at how that story unfolded, how there were differing dispensations depending on what part of the world people were at, and how the African family and the seeming racial types who would occupy the different continents would begin to tell a story too. The problem is not that there is these other stories. The problem is we've been told we don't have a story, and therein lies the prime.
That's where I'm at. Let's go ahead, Finn.
Therein lies, as George James says, the core correction, or the course correction, in the abysmal treatment of African people and the justification for it. As long as we don't put our story beside these other stories, and you see, this whole thing called multiculturalism is a joke, because people come to the so-called round table, and they're of every hue, but there's still only one story being told. And until everyone can come to that table and show the contribution that each has made to world civilization, because African people, who are the original people, have made contribution to world civilization. We gave the world the human.
Can I change that for a minute?
Sure.
See, Caucasians have given contribution. You understand? The foundation of everything on this planet is by people of color. This was a black planet. So the only people, you know, Caucasians or other races have contributed, but the total foundation of it all was for you African people.
That's right. You know what I mean? The original people.
We didn't make
contributions
to our creation. And I'm not challenging you. I'm learning how to change things for me. You know, like when I meet people, they, you know, because I'm here, you know, I'm Choctaw, Washington. They say, oh, you're Native. No, I'm not Native. You know what I mean? I'm original. The Native Americans is out of me.
That's right. Well, we gave the world the human family. Right. Life began in Africa. Africa is the cradle of civilization. And so out of Africa comes every contribution to world civilization. The human family itself, which would then, through the glaciation cycle, unfold these seeming racial types. The language, agriculture, science, mathematics, astrology, astronomy, every herbology, every human.
They didn't give a contribution. They just changed the name, and that ain't a contribution.
African people gave the world every aspect of human civilization. African people have done that, and as you're saying, later other people would make changes to that.
Yeah, because it's a difference with them bringing a contribution or just coming in, seeing what was in the black planet, and then going back and renaming it. You know, like Christmas isn't a contribution to Caress. It was just a change of name. You know what I'm saying? It was that generic. Really? My thinking, I could be wrong because I don't have a PhD, but it you know, Easter, same. It was that generic because
holiday. We're saying the same thing. As original people, we already had these practices, these arts, these sciences, this way of being, these rituals, ceremonies, long before. So everything else that would come later is just, as I said earlier, a redispensation, a repackaging of what was already in existence.
So how do we deal with the people that don't think it's important, you know, to deal with the original holiday? Is there a difference in the level of the power that they'll get? Is it we'll always stay oppressed because we don't deal with our original holiday?
Well, you know, one of the things that Bookman, who Dudie Bookman, who led the Haitian Revolution, said is, he says, throw away the image of the gods of the whites who has so often brought down our tears, and listen to liberty which speaks in all our hearts. So to respond to your question, we need to return to our African primacy. We need to return to that which is most primal and most potent for us. Anything else is just a repackaging. It's a and it takes us away from the vibration. We need to be restored to our primal vibration. Just like in terms of our healing now, in terms of our trauma history, and we need a certain cocktail and to heal the things, the impacts that have happened to African and African diaspora people. And any lesser version is not going to cure us, heal us. And so we can be off on these other seeming pursuits and activities, but like the Sankofa, we have to go back. That's the symbol of going back to reach for the spirituality and the greatness that directs us and gives us the archetype for of remembering how to build a world that's in accord the divinely intended design and purpose and plan. Another thing we'll do with this enactment is go before the scales of Ma'at and recite the 42 laws of Ma'at. This is a whole ceremony where we do many things, but that is one of the things that we'll do. And, you know, we know, for example, that Christianity took 10 of those laws of the 42, and there's actually more than 42, but Christianity took 10 and called them the 10 commandments. Well, what about the other 32? How much more is the world in whack, or as the young people would say, or built askew because we're not operating on those other 32? For example, one of them says, I have not polluted the water. You know, that's a big one. I mean, when we're working with universal law, as our African ancestors did through the law of Ma'at, we're working to have harmony and balance with all the kingdoms in nature. That's the mineral, that's the vegetable, that's the animal, that's the human, and that's the kingdom of souls. That's the divine. You know, the kingdom of souls is really maintaining our connection with the ancestors. We're stewards in all those kingdoms. So those laws help us to be in right relationship, not just with ourselves, but to be in harmony and balance with the planet and the kingdoms therein. And that is Osirian consciousness. To have Osirian consciousness, you know, to what do we need to do as Haru to be as Osir? How are we able to affirm as Haru that, you know, my father and mother are one. I am my father and mother. Osir, Oset, I am my father and mother. I am that. How do we become that? We achieve that Osirianization and consciousness where we are, you know, if you think about what we're aware of and what we're mindful of, well, we're mindful of, our own bodies, our own personal needs. That's a one level awareness. Then that can extend to be aware of the family and then of the community and then of the nation, and then of, you know, of, you know, what's happening with the, you know, the mineral kingdom. If you look at the exploitation of the mineral kingdom and the exploitation of the vegetable kingdom, the decimation of the forests and the rainforests, and then you look at what's happening in the animal kingdom, the wanton slaughter of animals for trophies, and then we look at the nightly news at what's happening in the human kingdom. You see, to have Osirian consciousness is to be a steward in all of these kingdoms and to be in good stewardship. So we honor those laws in Ma'at because they are a guide. And so when we come off on a lesser dispensation and take 10, we've left something out. And then when we build a world that's a screw or whack, then we only have to look at what we're operating out of as our primal base of guidance, our reference.
I want to thank you, because I knew I took you off track of what we were doing with the crystals, but I want to thank you.
And it's Kares, Kares. Kares is, and mus, these are Kemetic words. You can find these in the Pertemru. The Kares is how we arise as we move in a cycle of birth and rebirth from the tomb to the womb to be born again. Because we, like the sun, our African ancestors did not teach about death. They taught that the soul, as the soul and the soul and the transmigration of the soul, as the sun, that we are the ever coming one. It's just a cycle, and so the Karest is that symbol of how we arise, how we seemingly at this winter solstice go into the tomb. For our African ancestors, the tomb and the womb were synonymous because they were just passage points, portals. So we move in the seeming tomb as the Kares to be rebirthed in the womb again. And you see that sun now as it is on the increase. And when we move to the equinox points, this is when you see the sun come over the horizon at the equinox point. And so when we talk about the Kemetic Karesmus celebration, it is really understanding how that resurrection is within us. One of the biggest mental health challenges we have as a people, one of the biggest mental health, is this overcoming this seeming death. We've gotten all spooked up about death, and instead of holding the awareness of our immortality, of the eternal nature of the soul, we got focused on these physical, we got collapsed in these seeming physical flesh, blood, and bone bodies that die after 60 years and we don't even collect Social Security. We got caught into being collapsed in that as our identity instead of our identity as spiritual beings who are utilizing this instrument to do its work in the world. And so in this reconstruction, we reconnect with the evergreenness, the ever-comingness, the everlastingness, the eternity, nehehe, that we are and have always been. So our celebration is Sunday, December 20th. 2015, and this celebration, we're so excited this year because co-sponsoring our celebration is the National Center of Afro-American Artists here in Boston, under the stewardship of Dr. Barry Gaither. He will be the Center for National Afro-American Artists will be co-sponsoring our event. Last year we had it at the Academy, and it was so packed. We needed to find another venue. So that's the beautiful thing that it's growing. And I encourage the audience to look at the YouTube videos that I have on this event, of this research that I presented at the ASCAP conference, which is the Association for the Study of Classical African Civilization. And as the audience might be aware, this is the association that has been the concourse that such scholars as Dr. Ben have traversed, Dr. Asa Hilliard, Dr. John Henry Clark, Dr. Francis Quest Welsing, Dr. Richard King, and so on, and including myself. And this research was also presented at the Sheikh Anta Diop Conference, which is a conference that Dr. Malefe Asante has each year, who is the chair of, at the Temple University, and the founder of the first PhD in Africana Studies there at Temple University. And so these videos are on YouTube. If you just YouTube Dr. Nateri Nelson, they'll come up. So I encourage folks to watch the videos. You can also order the book. So like Kwanzaa, we are establishing this celebration as a yearly event so that we can restore the sacredness of this time and all the symbols that bring us back to our primordial essence and spirituality, that we are human and divine. Folks can reach us at 617-296-7797. Again, 617-296-7797. And you can Facebook us at the Academy of Comedic Education and Wellness, Inc. I'm sorry, CQ, did you have a question?
Yeah, I want to pry. I had a young lady call me today, and she's starting to have her metaphysical transformation as we move into this new paradigm. And so I want my audience to know that it's natural. So would you give us a little bit about when you first started getting connected, maybe if it goes back a little bit about your childhood up until now, why you took this pursuit, opposed to you probably, with your intelligence, you could have been rich, you know, being an integrationist. So folks get a feel of when you get called by the ancestors, you know, something like the movie Sankofa. So will you give us a little information about your background?
Yes, I would be glad to. From the moment I first opened my conscious eyes, and that I placed that around 3 years of age, because I can remember very clearly, you know, how you find yourself at your earliest memory as a child. I can remember being that age and going, I would go into the bathroom, and I, if I balanced myself just right on the side of the tub and held onto the sink, I would be tall enough to catch my reflection in the mirror. And I would stand there long periods of time looking into my eyes. And I was looking into my eyes. I was trying to see in back of my eyes, because I knew in back of my eyes was a presence and a power. And I thought if I just stood there long enough and looked hard enough, I could see that presence and that power. And then when I would look into the eyes of others, I would, too, look to see that presence and that power. So I've always wanted to know what lay in back of the I wanted to touch that presence that lay in back of the physical presentation of things. I was never satisfied with what was on the surface. I wanted to always connect with the divine, with that essence. And I knew that that presence and that power that lay in back of my eyes is a presence and a power that's everywhere. You know, snap a blade of grass, and that presence and that power is there also. And so I have sought that, and that has led me on a deeply metaphysical path. And to be a metaphysician is to at once be teleported back to Kemet, and to be a Kemetophysician, because our African ancestors were masters in the science of the soul, the journey of the soul. They were masters in their understanding of creation. They weren't waiting for the Big Bang of science that would come many, many years, thousands of years later. They understood these forces in nature. They named them Nun and Nunet. They named Ku and Kuket, darkness, and they named the boundaries that would be created. So out of nothingness, the noon, out of nothingness and simultaneous everythingness, there would be this arising of somethingness, of thingness. So they understood all. They understood the arising of the universe, and so that has been my journey, to penetrate deeply into the understandings of the workings of the universe, to have revealed to do that which would enable me to even touch the fringes of that divine ideation, that out of which all is created, and that has been my journey.
Thank you, I appreciate it. For me, I want to ask, for a person beginning, what would be four books that would be required reading, that you would have them read if they're coming out of Christianity?
Okay. Well, first, I would have them read George James' Stolen Legacy.
Okay.
Then I would have them read my first book, Ka'abab, Building the Lighted Temple.
Okay.
Folks who haven't read, maybe need to start with some books so they're aware of what has happened in history, and that those books are, you know, the destruction of African civilization by Chancellor Williams. You know, just know what has happened if there needs to be more reading about that. And then, you know, Stolen Legacy, the books by Dr. Ben, the black man of the Nile, and his family, Dr. Ben. So those are just some of the books. then there, you know, we can graduate from there and, you know, read Intellectual Warfare by Jacob Carruthers. But unless one has seen the destruction of African civilization, and then, of course, once you read that, then you want to read Malefa Yasante's book, The History of Africa, so you can see what it was before it got destroyed. So read The History of Africa by Malefa Yasante. Then read Stolen Legacy. Then read Ka Aba, Building the Light of Temple, because that is the restoration of our African psychology and spirituality, and then read Intellectual Warfare, because that's where we're at now, and we some people don't know we're at war, but we are at it's war on the mental plane. It's war on the mental plane, because even now, when we could embrace the change have been off, it's the physical change are off, but the mental change of it, the emotional change, and moreover the mental change are there. So we must understand that the battle is on the mental plane, and that's where we have to do our work to free ourselves mentally from that which doesn't promote our health and well-being and the ability to assert the one true self without diminishment, without to break past that superiority inferiority complex that dominates the planet.
So how do we, for our entry level folks, can you give them maybe a meditation, a mantra they can use to help protect them at night and also elevate them? I'm way off track, but I apologize.
Uh-huh. Well, I actually have a very powerful meditation in my book, and Ka Aba, Building the Lighted Temple, and it goes like this. I clothe myself in a robe of light composed of the love, wisdom, and power of the divine. Or one can say God, one can say call on that nature or divinity, composed of the love, wisdom, and power of Aman. They can name that. Anyway, I clothe myself in a robe of light composed of the love, wisdom, and power of God, Aman, Amun-Ra, divine. Not only for my protection, but so that those who see it or come in contact with it, they too are drawn to the divine and healed. And then it's important to say, forbidden is the drawing upon my own limited essence. For Aman, Amun-Ra, the divine, God, the power, some people may say Allah, doeth the work for me. In other words, we have to call on divine intervention, divine power. We don't rely on just our own personal, you know, Dr. Nateri or Yusekou power, but who tap into the infinite fount of power, the source for our protection. And then we say, forbidden is the drawing upon our own limited essence for that Osir, Oset, Haru, or that father, mother, God within us doeth the work. And it's important that we repeat that we know that we have to be plugged into a source. And when we're in that, when we're plugged into that source, that is the source and the force from which we draw our protection and our strength. It's interesting that you ask about a prayer at this time in our world. You say, Ku, were you referencing all the mayhem that's going on in the world?
Yeah. It was like when we spoke earlier today, you know, how there's people feeling it, but we, you know, having, that was very powerful, what you gave. I thank you for that, because I can feel your energy level go up, but people are feeling it, but they need something to help stabilize and help them to sleep. And what you just gave is one of the mantras that can help them get focused and ground themselves.
Yes, you know? And wearing the Ankh Ujjayi-Saneb, wearing that symbol of life is so important, wearing that symbol of life. And also to know at this time that this is what I write in my book, is that this is a time that is both perilous and a time that is also propitious. Perilous for all the reasons that we see in the news, but propitious in that it is under the cover of this darkness that we can go forth and do our greatest work. It's the time to build. It's the time to, as this old form is shattering, we need to, with all deliberate speed, be building the new. And so that means being very focused and knowing that one is protected in that rebuilding of a world that is more in accord with the divinely intended design. So if we have that as our archetype, our intent, then you know that protection follows.
I appreciate that, because it,
and certainly meditation. You know, we teach meditation. All of the practices of meditation, all the things that, you know, bring us into greater alignment and a sense of peace and ease and calm. I'd really support the listening audience, if you're able to get the book, Ka'aba, Bin Laden Temple. You can get it on our website or at Amazon. That you read Chapter 17, The Spiritual Implications of the Perfect Storm. And in that chapter, you know, I talk about how, you know, what time it is, and that we've reached the deepest descent in this materialization of consciousness, and now we're as a planet, and now we're making a shift in this. And I talk about this vertex of the V. You know, if you're in a letter, if you can visualize a letter V, we are shifting in that vertex where we've made our descent from times more spiritual on this planet into this materialism of consciousness that we've been in, and in its deepest, darkest descent. And now we're making this shift back into a re-spiritualization of consciousness. But we're just at the bottom of that upward ascent in that V. We're just at that hatch mark of just turning the corner. And so what I say in my book is that, you know, as African people, we lived in the time more spiritual, and we, our ancestors, and we are the ancestors, we watch the shade go down on this planet, and we suffered that deep night, dark night. I think what happens with Kunta Kinte in the hull of the ship of enslavement speaks to that deepest descent. And now we are the same ancestors who are watching that shade just slightly go up, so we see a little shard of light coming through. And, you know, that shade will eventually bring the full light of day again on this earth. But we need to know what time we incarnated in and what we've come to do now. So this time is not for the faint of heart. What we're seeing in the news is going to intensify before it gets better. We have, at best, another, you know, minimally 100 years before we move through this turmoil that we're in right now. And, you know, because this energy is now precipitating on the physical plane, this conflictual energy. But it's a wrap. It's a done deal. The sun is rising, and that shade is going up, and nothing can stop it. So it's a wrap for this material cycle. It's a wrap. And the death knell has been dealt to this cycle. I talk about it in my book as a fiery breathing dragon, and that is, you know, we have to watch out for the ferocity of the fire of that material dragon, because it's been wounded now. It's been dealt that death blow, because it's time. It's the crystallization of a cycle that is now getting more and more ready to shatter. But moreover, when that dragon has been wounded, it's the most dangerous. And so, because as it rises in its pain now, we have to watch out for the fire but we also have to watch out for that whipping around of that massive tail in this cycle that would seek to take out as many as possible in that material cycle. So we just know what time we came and the work we have to do, and that means we have to build the new form. And no, there is no death, only the transmigration of the soul.
So you took me two places, so I'm going to go this direction. Do you see the militarization of America in the next year?
Well, we already see it, and on our urban streets, yes, we already see it. You know, what's important here, and I'm going to have to sign off in a minute, is that we remember that it is under the cover of this seeming darkness that we have the opportunity to, and this distraction that we have the opportunity to build, to open African-centered schools that will teach our children. You know, just imagine folks will be so preoccupied with what's happening on the nightly news, and there'll be lots always on the nightly news. But as we continue to be about building for the new world, folks will look up and say, "Oh, those folks over there, they while all that was going on, they built another pyramid. they have universities. They've open world banks. That's what we need to focus on.
That's
positive. So, and in that regard, Yusuku, and to the listening audience, I greet you in the spirit of Ankh Ujah Seneb, life, prosperity, and health, and that we honor in this Kemetic Kharesma celebration the birth of the Haru, the sun, the resurrection of the sun, sun-daughter within us, and to know that we are the ever-coming one, and that we are that everlasting life. So I'll say to the audience and to you, Yesaku, thank you so much for your invitation. We hope folks will Facebook friend us, and if you're able to be in this area, to attend the Kemetic Kharesma celebration Sunday, December 20th.
It's a shame you couldn't YouTube it. Yeah.
Pardon me?
It would be nice if you could YouTube it, you know.
Oh, yes. Well, we're looking to get it videoed, yes.
You know, because so, I know they're doing some live stuff now, which is nice. But I do appreciate you. You have a home here if you want to ever come back and teach. You know, and I want to welcome you, first of all, to the Ring of Sun Network, which is a product of me and the think tank of other black people with spending all. We're working on trying to learn how to be self-sufficient. We're working together, you know, like that. So,
and yeah, I appreciate it. I appreciate your invitation, and may we all work as in the full expression of as we are human and divine. So, Shemim Hotep. Peace and blessing.
Family, Dr. Nateria Nelson. Do get in touch with us.